Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we just love to watch on Bravo. I'm Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, cartoon on YouTube, and also of the Game Brain podcast. I'm on this week's episode. Go take a listen if you like board games. And joining me is the wonderful and hilarious and lovely Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks Bachelor Rose podcast. What's up, Ronnie?
Hey, how you doing over there?
Well, you know, I mean, it's been a crazy time, a crazy, crazy weekend for, like, literally the whole world. And, man, I mean, it's like, it feels a little weird to sign on here to do our podcast where we just, like, talk shit about Bravo, you know, while, you know, people are out there protesting for their rights and, like, and, you know, demanding to be seen. And it almost feels trivial what we're doing. So it feels like, it feels a little weird. I'm not going to lie, but I have to say I am just like, I'm not trying to be political here, but I do have to say I really, really support, you know, the protesters that are out there who are fighting for their rights. And, you know, it was tough to watch. And, you know, where I live, there was looting and rioting right around the corner. Like, you could hear it from my window. And it was really, really scary. But at the end of the day, you know what, like, you know, people's voices need to be heard. So
it's pretty weird being here in Texas when all this is happening, because stuff is happening here, but I'm living outside of Austin, so I'm not really down there for that. And you know, my neighborhood in LA is where a lot of this stuff is happening, so it's crazy seeing it on the news. It's like, oh, there's your street and it's on fire. It's pretty crazy seeing it. You know, obviously we both stand with Black Lives Matter people.
100%.
Hello, of course, 100%. Just stay safe out there. You know, we're not here to lecture you or, you know, get on a soapbox. But of course, that is where our hearts are. That is where we stand. Yeah. And, you know, our love is with you. Take care of each other, support each other, and talk to each other, for fuck's sake. Because I think that a lot of people have not been talking to each other, and that's a problem. So, talk to each other, educate each other, and let's get this shit together. And make no mistake, Ben, this is fucking trivial. Thank God.
Thank God. I know. I mean, 10 minutes ago, I'm watching George Floyd's brother walk to where he was killed, and the whole community was kneeling down, and it was so powerful and so gripping. And then to have to, like, pivot to here to talk about Top Chef, it just seems crazy. But at the same time, I mean, you know, one of the things that we've come to appreciate, hopefully, is that, like, there's a lot of privilege in being able to say, you know what, this is a crazy thing, but now I'm going to focus on something else. And there are people who just don't have that ability. They don't have the opportunity to focus on something else because of the color of their skin. And you know, even though what we're doing is trivial, hopefully it does provide, like, a relief for people who are just stressed out about all of this shit. And beyond.
God, you know, and George for Floyd, me, and relief for me, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, thank God we have this, you know, so thank you guys for letting us do this, because if we didn't have this to do, I'd be still in the fetal position, like I was right before we came on to do this.
Seriously.
So. Yeah. Take care of each other out there. And also support each other. Let's do some small business shout-outs.
You start, because I don't have mine ready.
This one comes from Nicole, who is doing, it looks like, some badass face masks. Wow, Nicole, these are gorgeous. I'm looking at the picture she sent. And at first, they look like crazy ones, because they're what is it called when there's just strings hanging down? Not ruffles, but like ladies in the flappers used to wear them, you know? Shimmies.
Fringe?
Like fringe, yes. They look like they're they are fringe. So it's like, how is that protective, dumbass? But it's like fringe over a face mask. They're really gorgeous, Nicole. You can... I'm warning you.
Really,
I'm in crazy town today.
Fringe, fringe over face mask.
I'm sorry, she sent me so many pictures and my eyes are busy. But yeah, she makes really beautiful, really creative and original face masks, which we also still need. So don't forget about that. Don't forget about that other clusterfuck happening in the world right now. She sells jewelry under the name Odyssey and Oddities, and she's out of Cleveland. And go check out her masks. They're really great. Go to Etsy, and her shop is called Odyssey and Oddities. Odyssey and Oddities.
Cool. This is from Terry O'Connor, who wants to give a shout out to her daughter's small business. Her daughter was clearing out the daughter's grandmother, her mom, Terry's mom's house. They found all this amazing vintage clothing and art and housewares and jewelry and all this super, super cool stuff. Her name is Callie, by the way, the daughter. So she set up an Etsy store. And if you're interested in all these cool paintings and, ooh, there's a really cool glass snack tray on there and a mirror. I mean, there's actually like a lot of really interesting stuff. Go check out on Etsy, Shayloon. It's Chezlune, all one word, Shayloon. And go get some cool stuff for your house and support Callie and her mom, Terry.
Okay, and here we are with some Top Chef.
Top Chef. Well, you know, what's the Lord giveth and it taketh away. Sort of the other way around. I feel like we finally achieved something in this episode that we've been waiting all season long, but then at the same time, something came back to us that we thought we were long done with.
Yeah, but I was glad to see him because one of the things that's troubling with all these shows is towards the end of the season when the people that you love to make fun of are gone and the people that fill you with rage are suddenly gone. And there's like three nice people at the end enjoying, you know, Europe or Italy or wherever, or you know what I mean, like the final destination place that they go to. And they're like, let's go sit by the pool before the challenge. And it's like, guess what? Guess what I don't need to see? Brooke sitting around talking about her dreams, you know?
Yeah.
So thank you for bringing in Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin. It's so funny how much I have now grown to hate Kevin because of you. Like, I literally had no problem with him. And now, like, I cannot stand him. Like, every little thing he does drives me nuts. It's so weird. It's like this infectious little Kevin seed you planted.
I'm evil like that. So we open with Tom showing us part of Last Chance Kitchen. He's like, well, you got past part one, and now it's part two. So choose some chefs to cook again. You got to win three rounds to get back in the competition. And so it's a fight.
So he does the smartest thing, which is he goes up against Malarkey first and, of course, beats Malarkey in the first round, you know. And so and Kevin's like, well, one down. I just need one more to win. So he goes up against Voltaggio. And, of course, Brian Voltaggio wins, which made me happy.
So he had to win best 2 out of 3?
He had to win 2 out of 3, but so he beat Malarkey and he lost to Voltaggio.
Oh, okay.
And so then he goes up against Gregory. Gregory volunteers, and so he goes up against Gregory, and he wins. He ultimately wins, and he tells us, I feel incredibly fortunate to be back here. I'm going to fight to win this whole thing. And I was just like, shut the fuck up. I don't know what it was. Like, he said nothing wrong. He literally said nothing wrong. He was like, I'm back. I want to win. I was like, no, you be quiet now.
Yeah. He's like, I love blonde wood. So then he's like, I'm going to fight. I am going to fight. And then they cut to Malarkey's face. And he's doing that thing where he's like, making a gross, like, ugh, like with his lips back over his teeth, above his teeth.
Yeah.
And then, like, touching the top of his, like, big, huge, inflated lip with his tongue, like, and giving him a dirty look. It's the best image. Yeah.
And he goes, good God. And then just goes to the opening credits. So, when the credits are done, the chefs enter the quickfire kitchen, and Padma is sitting with Jonathan Waxman in, like, just the perfect Padma kind of seating. Just first-class seating in the middle of a kitchen. First-class plane seating.
Yeah. You gotta love airplanes, that they make first-class. It's like the most first-class you can get, you know? It's the fanciest travel you can get, and it just looks like a booth at a Chipotle. You know, one of those
I know. You pay $10,000 to sit in that.
Yeah. So she's there with Jonathan Waxman, and she's like, do you like what I've done with the play, chefs? And she's just drinking that champagne. They've got champagne in first class, and Padma is just going to town on it, and it's hilarious.
Yeah. Welcome back, Kevin. Has it been like a roller coaster, being kicked off and then fighting your way back and probably getting kicked off again? That must hurt, doesn't it?
It's like when I put Fruity Pebbles on a red wagon and rolled it down a hill and then pulled it back up and just watched Gail chase it over and over. Roller coaster, am I right?
I'll tell you what's a real roller coaster. Going out for a 12-course meal with my good friend David Chang. Wow, you never know which ones he'll like and which ones he'll hate. Wow, that's just part of the appeal of having very famous friends.
Please welcome James Beard Award winner, probably, because there's like 9,000 of them now. Big person with glasses. And most importantly, a friend of mine, Jonathan Waxman.
Yes, she literally says, and he's also my friend.
Well, there's one last quickfire here in Los Angeles. Airline food used to have a stigma, but now... but now they've recruited chef consultants to take it to new heights. Get it? I'm talking about planes. Let's go high, chefs.
So then Jonathan is like, well, when I started in 1988 with American Airlines in the chef conclave, it was that I was doing a chef conclave, and I was Alice Waters and Wolfgang Puck and me. Thank you. You can hold your applause. Thank you. Yes, we did a chef conclave in 1988. Thank you.
Conclave. So they are going to make airline food. And yes, it's going to be for first class only, because that's the only place you get airline food anymore. They're starting to rob us.
Chefs, for this challenge, you must make food that Gail will never have, because she only flies coach.
First,
make something
in the best
make
class.
Something chefs, I want you to make something that smells so wonderful it'll have Gail at the front of those curtains sticking her head in, so that way I can punch her and say, go back to steerage.
Don't worry, Gail won't feel bad, she only flies Southwest, am I right, Jonathan?
Listen, just give her some of those purple potato chips from JetBlue and she'll be fine.
And Waxman is like, hey, and I want you to know that height is important, because you can only use ingredients a certain height, okay? That's very important. I was like, God, height is important on this show, too. I'm already watching The Bachelor. Like, can we stop making height so important? Poor short food.
Yeah, poor short food, because it has to fit in, like, it can't be higher than the plate, because it all has to stack and things like that.
Yeah.
Hey, the chef that soars to the occasion will win a big advantage in the elimination challenge. And no, it won't be Gail's shoulder pads. Did you hear what I said? The chef that soars, because we're talking about flying. Get it? Ali Wong, did you get that?
I didn't mean lip soars. You can stop licking your lips, malarkey. Malarkey, every time they cut to malarkey, he's just making a stupid face, touching his lips with his tongue. And it's cracking me up. He does it like 10 times.
Also, you must use ingredients that are available all year round. And no, Gail, Oreos don't count as an ingredient.
So they only have 30 minutes to make two dishes, which is pushing it even for Top Chef, you know? Yeah. I was watching Chopped, because I had my nieces over this weekend. Showing them, like, watching Chopped, and it's so disgusting, that show. Like, it's watching awful. The poor judges, you know, they're like, talk about not being in first class. Those are the coach judges of television.
Seriously.
You know?
Chopped is a depressing experience. When it first came out, I mean, I still watch it, but like, when it first came out, it was kind of like, ooh, cool, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? But now it's just like, everything is just like a disgusting, like, putrid, like, here's foie gras with caramel sauce and
dog
poop.
You know, it's like really bad, the stuff that they have to make.
It's all so awful.
The whole goal is to not make the judges barf, you know, because that's all they can want to do, you know.
But it's also such a poorly made show. Like, it's actually, I feel like I see the scotch tape that's holding the whole thing together. The way that they do such clumsy musical cues, I think we've talked about this before, about if someone will say, if someone says the sentence, things were going really well, but then I had a mishap. And over the course of that sentence, the music will be like, dun, 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 boom, 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 boom. I'm like, I can hear you just like there's no elegance to it.
Yeah. So Chopped. So watching that show, but then watching this, I'm like, okay, this is pushing it. And I just watched Chopped. I mean, 30 minutes. Come on. I want to see good food being made. I get that it's a quick fire, but two things in 30 minutes. What can they possibly fucking do?
Yeah. Well, Brian Voltaggio, he is, he's never won a quick fire. I guess technically he won one earlier this season, but it was part of a group, but he's never won a solo one. And he's like, this is my last chance to win a quick fire. And he's like, this is my last chance. And he really wants to win it so badly. So I thought for sure they were setting it up for him to win a quick fire because they've been planting that seed all season long, but.
Nope.
Maybe not.
Yeah. And Kevin, of course, is so Kevin about it. He's like, I've spent the vast majority of my life flying first class. I'm an airline diva, you could say.
Yeah, because his grandfather was an airline executive. I was like, of course. See, he's all nice and sweet. Like, I'm just Kevin, your down-home country man, who also is the scion to an airline CEO.
I demand my pen. I demand my wing pen.
You know he was. You know he was like that terror who's like, how about my lolly? How about my lolly? Comes onto that plane, running around, up and down the aisles, kicking flight attendants in their shins.
Is that his last name, Malali?
No. No, I want my lolly.
Oh, I want my lolly. I was like, oh my God, I love Karen Mulally. Okay, we're never going to end this recap. I want my lolly.
So, I can imagine him, honestly, dressed with like a little bow tie and like shorts, but like a blazer, and running around asking for a lolly.
Yes, just airplane. Like kicking someone's seat while he plays a stupid Game Boy.
My grandpa's your boss, you know.
My daddy owns this plane and you're going to pay.
Yes. Oh, God. He's probably a terror. So then Stephanie is like, hey, Malarkey, what are you making? A mess. Shut up, Malarkey.
Then it cuts to Padma while everybody's running around like crazy trying to figure out what to do. It cuts to Padma just leaning back with her champagne and she tells Jonathan, want some nuts? So funny. So Stephanie tells us her backstory, because everyone has a backstory for every challenge, you know. She's like, my mom's a retired flight attendant. You know, foods can dry out. 30 minutes isn't really enough time, but I'm not in charge. Champagne Padma is.
Yeah. And it cuts to Padma just adding ice into her champagne. La piscine, as we've learned from Sutton on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yeah. Get in the pool. Everybody in the pool!
So Melissa decides she's going to make some curry. So she's making curry. And then Padma's like, hey, Jonathan, my dear friend Jonathan Waxman, come with me. Let's go walk around and make fun of the poors. So they stand up and they just start like getting into everyone's business.
Yeah, she's like, hello, Coach Dweller. Hello, Lesser Twin. Or shall I call you Coach Twin? Coach Brother. Sorry, I keep thinking they're twins. Coach Brother Voltaggio. So you're making chicken thigh with green lentils, dates, and then a salad with green goddess dressing. Very nice 70s dish. Voltaggio!
Well, I hope I don't get into your head when I remind you that what you're making is extremely dated, just like Gail's patterns. High five, Jonathan Waxman. High five. High five. Up high. Up high.
And then he's trying to run around and get ingredients, and she's just standing there drinking. He has to go around her.
Yeah. He's like, excuse me? She's like, yeah, walk around the fam, this person.
So she goes to check on Greg next. And my niece got very upset. She's like, I really don't like it when people talk to me while I'm trying to cook, Uncle. It's very rude. He's going to forget his measurements.
Yes, she's right. She's right. Padma's being distracting. Distracted. Yeah. She also checks in on Kevin, who is basically making deep fried meatballs. Now, here's the thing. John and Vinny. You know John and Vinny's on Fairfax? And you know like the Shook brothers. You know, they have a whole bunch of restaurants out here. And they actually partnered up with Delta Airlines. They have like a really famous meatball at their restaurant, John and Vinny's. And they partnered with Delta Airlines and they serve that meatball in business class. And I think it's like a pretty well-known thing. So when Kevin's like, well, I'm going to make a big meatball. I was like, you are such a cheater. Like,
yeah,
like a meatball, like that's like already established, like a thing that is done on airlines.
Yeah, way to steal the iconic meatball, loser.
Yeah, and on top of that, it's also like, well, it may be hot, but you know, you can, it's a meatball, you can squish it down. I'm like, well, then you've made a meat patty, which is different.
Yeah, I was really hoping they were gonna call him out on that, because that's bullshit. Yeah. For him to just be like, rules, screw rules, my daddy owns an airline.
I'm a Malali.
Commercials, here comes one right now.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Higher than high-res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan lettuce.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Shannon better than Kyle Richards.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Oops, she did it again, it's Brittany Montano.
Simple as rocket science, it's Dana Easy.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
The Wyndham beneath our wings, it's Joe Wyndham.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Is a frog's ass watertight? It's Rose and Sadie.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys. So Malarkey is like, whoops, cut the pork, and now the moistness is flowing all over the table.
Yeah, that was sort of a... I feel like if I were him, instead of cutting the bottom of the pork, wouldn't you just, like, slice it and then fan it out?
Yeah, or just, you know, let it rest. I mean, I guess I don't...
or that.
I guess he tried that, but there wasn't enough time, in fairness.
So Padma's like, 5 minutes until touchdown. Is touchdown for sports? I don't know. It's one of those things that poor people say. Touchdown, touchdown, hands up, touchdown down.
Mm-hmm. So who's first?
I got
so confused. I'm sorry. I said who's first because I'm looking at my notes. And it says, Andy, thanks for letting us appear on your show. And Jack's saying, know your role, sweetie. And that is the preview for the Vanderpump Rules Zoom reunion that they had a commercial for. And I guess I thought it was important enough to write notes for. Carry on, Ben.
So now it's time for tasting. And Gregory's up first. So what are we eating on this flight? Spoiler alert, it already looks terrible.
It's Gregory, and he's made grilled broccolini and garam masala chicken. And Kevin has made some Moroccan spiced lamb meatballs, as we know, and a roasted carrot salad. And she's like, Kevin, these meatballs are taller than your plate.
And she's taking her knife. She's like gliding her knife off the top, over like the top of her plate to be like, whatever this knife touches is too tall, too tall. Looks like we got a little bit of a gale of a meatball, which is funny because Gale isn't tall, but she doesn't really fit in like this meatball.
Voltaggio has braised chicken thighs and Gringotta's dressing on a salad. And Waxman's like, did you think the lentils are cooked all the way through? Sorry, Padma. Yeah, way to steal my line, formerly good friend.
I thought you did a great job. Normally, I wouldn't let someone else use my lines, but since you are very influential in the food world, have at it. I'm so honored to have you use one of my lines.
So then Stephanie serves her rockfish and potato salad, and she has, you know, it's one of those I'm dumb, but it's cooked in paper. And so Padma's trying to rip the paper. She's like, ow, this is hard. Oh, I can't get this out. How does paper work? This is so difficult. Jonathan, did you mean to have trouble opening your paper? Stephanie, I just can't. Stephanie, who gave you a stapler? Stephanie, is this hot glued?
Stephanie, as we all know, paper is one of the toughest materials on the planet. One does not simply rip it open, especially not when it's moist. I don't know why you would serve this to us.
She goes, if I'm having trouble opening this paper, how would a flight attendant do it?
I mean, a flight attendant surely can't be as educated as I am, being the ex of Salman Rushdie.
So then Malarkey, of course, just keeps talking so and talking and talking.
He's like, welcome to Air Malarkey. This is our fall and winter menu. What we have here is a pancetta and sherry mushrooms topped with brie cheese. And also, you'll notice there is a leaf of cilantro in one corner and the tears of my wife in the other. So that is the appetizer.
Forced Restylane in the third little compartment there. It's like, Malarkey, is this supposed to be cut? Because I can't cut it. It's harder than paper.
Wow. Did you just serve me a roasted piece of paper? Because I can't cut this.
He's like, well, this is... He says, well, you need a steak knife. She's like, they don't give you steak knives on commercial, Malarkey. And he's like, well, this isn't commercial. It's Jet Malarkey.
Malarkey, I don't think they still serve steak knives on commercial airlines. I mean, I wouldn't know. I fly Air Ali One.
So then Melissa has made a tofu salad, and Padma's like, why did you choose tofu salad? And she's like, because it lies flat. Good answer. You can stay. All right, Waxman, let's do this.
So now they're judging, and Jonathan is like, you know, I had high hopes for Stephanie's dish, but unfortunately she used the most resilient material on planet Earth, and neither of us were actually able to get past the paper and see what was on the inside, so unfortunately that was too bad. It was hard. It was really hard.
Ow, my hands. She's like got her hands in the ice bucket in first class.
We'll never know what was in that papillote.
And Malarkey, you do tell a great story. However, I can't eat a story, you idiot.
Yeah, I really struggled. I really struggled to even cut it. I would show you how much I struggled, but my hand is being iced currently.
Unfortunately, Malarkey, while you are a great storyteller, you're not quite as good of a storyteller as my good friend, Lena Waithe. She won an Emmy.
So, Mr. Meatball is in the tops, and Malarkey rolls his eyes.
Yeah.
He hates him, and also probably because he knows that that is an already iconic first-class meatball.
Yeah, because he's a first-class meatball stealer.
Yeah.
So, but luckily, Melissa winds up winning, of course, because she pretty much wins everything. And I love how she keeps talking about, like, yeah, I was in the bottom. I'm really in a rut. Melissa, you are, like, the best chef here. So she wins. And only five will continue on to the finale. And for the first time ever, Top Chef is heading to Europe for the finale. In Tuscany, to be specific. Even though no one asked. But Tuscany. Anyone? Anyone impressed? No? Okay.
Anyone been to Italy? And everybody raises their hands but Stephanie. And she's like, oh, Stephanie. Well, anyway, you'll be flying courtesy of American Airlines. So she starts cracking up. I love fucking drunk-ass Padma at work.
I know. I love that. Oh, Stephanie, so sad that you haven't been to Italy. I guess you'll be a little bit out of your depths. Well, this is good. Maybe you can find a new outfit or a makeover or something to sort of defrumpify yourself. It'll be great.
So the challenge, it's like, you'll be creating a dish inspired by food and philosophy of Michael Santa Monica. Which is a famous
and before
restaurant.
Before you get any ideas, we're talking about a restaurant, not a craft store. So, Stephanie, just slow your roll.
Stephanie, put the glue gun down, Stephanie.
Wow, I can't even imagine what she'll be like once she finds out about construction paper. It's so thick.
Mm-hmm. And Kevin's like, I can honestly not even tell you how many amazing chefs have come out of Michael Santa Monica.
Here's a list.
Daddy, I want my lolly. That's my list.
So Michael Waxman, Jonathan Waxman tells them about Michael's. It's a historic restaurant in Santa Monica, and they wanted to make a French restaurant, but with California fresh items. And now they have to recreate those classic dishes in their own way.
Yeah, so they're going to cook at Michael's tomorrow in front of a lot of Michael's alumni.
Like so, Nancy Silverton and Brooke.
And that camera lady who wound up talking to us a lot in the mountains the other episode. I guess she apparently worked at the Michael's at some point. I don't know, staff photographer?
So they have to go eat at Michael's and then use one of those dishes as their inspiration for their own dish this evening, which will be judged by a long line of people who worked at Michael's.
And Brooke. So, add my friendly helper from Avis Rent-A-Car. We want to give back as best we can.
The one stewardess who would know where to find a steak knife, Brooke.
We wanted to treat her to dinner because her fingers have been burned so many times trying to open up a fish on papillote. So they get into their cars, they get into their BMWs, and they have to do this stupid thing where Brian Voltaggio's like, Hey, BMW, what's the weather like in Voltaggio, Italy?
And then the little Siri thing in the car is like,
second best.
Are you asking about Brian Voltaggio, Italy, or Michael Voltaggio, Italy? Because it's sunny in Michael Voltaggio, Italy, and it's a little overcast in Brian.
It's extremely insecure degrees.
There's a 50% chance of still haven't won Top Chef.
So they get to the restaurant, and someone's like, wow, it still looks like, 1979, but it tastes like 2017.
Yeah. Oh, that was Jonathan Gold who said that, because they had, like, a revamp back in 2017.
Oh.
So they get there, and they meet the guy Michael of Michael's. This guy's like a ham. Like, I feel like he came to L.A. to be an actor and then wound up running this restaurant. Because he's very much like, hey, welcome to Michael's. We've been here 40 years. And the stories we'd have to tell you, we could tell you. But hey, we don't have all right. You know what I'm saying? God, 40 years. You haven't even been born yet. Hey.
And the food is very, like, dated food.
Yeah.
It's like spaghetti with some shrimp on there and cream, Chardonnay cream.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And he keeps saying things like, yeah, we were beginning to pioneer baby asparagus. Baby asparagus. We started baby asparagus.
That's my question. Did they? Did they invent baby asparagus? Yeah, I guess maybe. People do that, right? Invent things.
What do you have to say about paper? Did you invent paper? Because it is difficult.
Could you point me towards the idiot who made the cockapoo? Because I really can't stand that pioneer.
Well, Michael, you really are an innovator with the baby asparagus. I'm just so glad you didn't cover it in paper.
They show some of these dishes. There's grilled quail with roasted jalapeno lime and Brooke's monkfish wrapped in boar and boar snore.
You'll notice that Brooke's monkfish comes with an insurance policy that you might want to take out. You never know what's going to happen when you're on the road. Please return Brooke's monkfish with a full tank of gas. Thank you so much.
So Brooke's monkfish was wrapped in prosciutto and served over an heirloom beet risotto, I think. And,
we introduced heirloom beets in the 80s. We did, I tell you.
We pioneered it. They used to just be poor beets. Now they're heirloom beets. That's right. Right from your meemaw's house.
So Malarkey, for some reason, is weighing in on Brooke's dish. He's like, that's the funniest looking risotto of all time. I mean, you know what? Fish, that's my wheelhouse. I think I could have fun with that dish. Well, too bad. You don't get it.
Yeah, fuckface. And there's some sweetbreads with a reduction of veal sauce and a grilled lamb saddle with a potato galette by Roy Yamaguchi and a duck two ways with a blood orange sauce by Mark Peel. And then they have to choose knives to see who gets to choose in order. But Melissa gets to go first because she won, and she chooses quail.
Yeah, because she lives and breathes California cuisine. Kevin takes the duck, and Stephanie goes for the scallop and the pasta. I love, she's totally negs it in the process. She's like, yeah, I'm gonna go for the scallop and pasta. I mean, even though it was really heavy and dated, I like the flavors. It's like, you know, he's standing right there, right?
And then Greg's getting annoyed because he's like, one by one, they're taking my dishes. And Voltaggio takes the lamb saddle, and Greg ends up with a monkfish.
Yeah. And he's just like, I'm so angry right now. I'm so sad and angry. Can't you tell by... Oh, I'm smiling again, aren't I? Oh, shoot.
I just congratulated everyone. Darn, I did this wrong again.
So Malarkey gets stuck with, like, veal and sweetbreads, which I wouldn't even say gets stuck with. I think it's perfectly fine. And he's like, you know what? I got veal. I got sweetbreads. I got a plate. I got a fork and a knife. I think I just did pretty well for being sixth. Can't wait to ruin this.
Yeah. Wow, you're psychic.
Yeah, seriously.
Did pretty well for being sixth. So Whole Foods. Yeah. Gregory's like, you know, I'm thinking of keeping it simple. You know, beet risotto with monkfish. I love you so much. I'm going to keep you.
It's like, Gregory, why are you hugging that can of garbanzo beans? Just because it looked like it needed love.
God, I love monkfish. I'm not changing a thing.
And Kevin, I don't know why this annoyed me, but when they're talking about Brooke's dish, he goes, wow, she was probably pretty young when she made that. And for some reason, it felt like an aggression. But then when I thought about it, it wasn't. But I'm just going to say it was, because it felt like it.
It was micro enough to go either way. So we'll just...
It was like there was no evidence that it was aggressive. Like, if anything, it might have even been a compliment, because he's saying that she's already young, so she must have been really young. But I was just kind of like, are you dismissing this dish? I don't know. I was angry.
Yeah, you never know with that one. Yeah. So then Brian Malarkey is like, well, you know, they like the farmer's market, so that's what I'm gonna do. I look around the Whole Foods and I think, what is fresh here? You know what's fresh? Asian pear, cilantro, a celery. It's like, okay, calm down, because like you're literally standing in the produce aisle.
He literally is like, apple, Asian pear, and you know what? Truffles don't like big sweet flavors. Well, then don't buy the fucking big sweet flavors. Just get a head of lettuce. Get some spinach. I don't know. Get an onion.
Yeah, dumb. And then Voltaggio is like, well, the lamb dish I can execute on a very high level. I love the sauce work of that dish. In New York, I was the saucier. I would make 37 sauces a day. So I think that I'm going to delve it. Okay, cut. Get him out of here, okay? Just make a fucking saucer.
My first job, I was actually working at McDonald's, and I was actually a saucier for McDonald's, and you should have seen what I could do with the honey mustard sauce. I got fired.
And then the editors are like, you know what, guys? Stephanie has really lightened up. She started to smile a little bit more. She's gaining a little confidence. I know what to do. Get a camera, put it inside a cart, and have it shoot up at Stephanie to make her as uncomfortable as possible. How about that?
We like to call that Padma Cam. Show these women in their true light.
So then back at home, Kevin and Voltaggio are talking, you know, about it working out, Kevin getting to stay. He's like, I need to make the cut for Tuscany. This is gonna happen.
Yeah. He's like, even if I have to dress up like Keanu Reeves and walk through fields flapping stuff, I'm going to Tuscany.
If I'm going to do one thing in this competition, it is going to be to get upgraded in my seat while the rest of you still have to stay and coach on the way to Tuscany.
I hear they have amazing lollies in Tuscany. So meanwhile, Malarkey calls his kids because they're twins. They're having a birthday. So we're like, okay, Malarkey's he's going home. He's getting the call from home. It's bad.
Yeah, I wrote Malarkey calls a stem cell farm.
What a sailor, and I don't know. So now it's the next morning. And they're over at Michael's, which, by the way, it would have been really fun if they were at a Michael's. Not Michael's Santa Monica, but an actual Michael's. Like, yeah. They had to, like...
There's a challenge.
Craft something. That is a challenge. Make a meal out of, like, the little snack they have by the cash register.
Did you mean to make this sunflower out of silk?
Kevin, I can't seem to differentiate you between you and all the Christmas decorations. Which one is the elf?
So let's see, what are they doing now?
They basically walk into Michael's, and Kevin's like, well, it looks exactly like a kitchen from the 1980s would, if you ask me. I'm like, this is an institution of apparently very dated food, but still an institution nonetheless. Show some respect.
And Malarkey's like, well, I've been thinking, how am I going to use all of this stuff I got and the truffles? Because truffles hate big flavors. And then it strikes me. Maybe I'll do a dreaded duo. That's it. I'm doing the dreaded duo. Why not? You go big or you go home. It's what I tell the doctor every time he's holding a needle. Bigger, bigger, bigger. That's why I've got 4 lips now.
That's right, we're doing the dreaded duo of Botox and Restylane. So Melissa is making her quail with a hot plum glaze, which looks amazing, of course. And then Tom comes in with Jonathan Waxman to walk around. Like, all right, chefs, what do you got going on? Is this incredibly tiny, dated kitchen from the 80s that has not been updated in 40 years? What's going on over here with you, Malarkey? And Malarkey's like, well, I got veal, I got truffles, and chanterelle mushrooms. So, and Tom's just looking at him like, yeah, what's going on with all the fruit, right? Yeah. You go to a mixology or something? What's going on here?
Yeah, I love when he says, what's going on with the fruit? And Malarkey's like, they don't like truffles, I'll tell you that. They do not like truffles. Which is why I'm making them into the meal. And Tom just kind of rolls his eyes like, okay, buddy.
He's like, all right, here's what I got. All right, I got truffles, and they're going to go on one side of the plate, and I got some feces that I was able to source from a cow. And I put it on the other side of the plate, and we're going to serve them together, and you'll know what to do from there, right?
Okay, feces great. Loves big flavors.
So Stephanie is working on her scallop spaghetti thing, and she's like, oh my God, these are like legends. Don't ask for an autograph. Don't ask for an autograph.
She's like, Stephanie, so Stephanie, tell us about your dish. I've never been to Italy. Oh God, Steph. Oh God. Oh God.
And then Waxman is at her little part of the kitchen, and he's like, wow, this is where Nancy Silverton used to be a cashier. Not even kidding.
Man, I thought he was kidding for a second. That's too bad.
Hey, tell us the Nancy Silverton being a cashier joke.
Hey, give us some of that good old Nancy Silverton at the till bit. Do that one. So Gregory is really worried about his risotto because he's not used to these ingredients, and risotto on Top Chef is always like super dangerous. And then we see Kevin is working with his duck, and he's like, so Mark Peel had a leg of duck. He had a breast of duck with also a duck confit and also some wild rice. So I'm going to take the braised duck, and I'm going to blend it with wild rice and make a duck rice croquette. This feels very Kevin Gillespie. I'm like, okay, you know what? Don't brand yourself, sir. Also, congratulations. You've made yet another ball on Top Chef.
Yeah, how no many one's going to accuse made? You of not being able to fry a ball, Kevin. Okay.
This is like his 10th ball this season. I mean, he just made the meatballs. Now he's making a duck ball. He had the thing that Ruth Reichel was like, when I first ate that ball, looked at that ball, I was like, what's that stupid-ass ball doing in this?
Wasn't that the clunky ball?
What was it?
Was that the clunky ball that she hated?
The clunky
so much?
Ball. So what's this clunky ball? I was trying to remember what it was. I figured if I talked enough, you would chime in with it.
I'm going to make this my own while still being respectful. That is the key.
So the judges all come in for dinner, and Gail's like, wow, I haven't been here for dinner in 15 years.
They just all hate this restaurant. Gail, have you not been in here, or have you not been invited? Big difference, you know.
Well, you gotta wonder, is it rent control? Like, how are they still so popular when they're serving, like, cream spaghetti and shrimp?
I think it really is, like, it's just like a famous restaurant, and I think there are locals that just love it, and they get their same thing over and over again. Sometimes at a certain point, like, the food just, I don't know, like, your reputation is a thing. I actually... I think a year ago, I went out to fancy dinner at Spago and with my parents. And honestly, the food was not that good. It was like shit was overcooked. Things were oversalted. Things were undersalted. It was like the menu was like not very interesting. And, you know, it's sometimes some of these restaurants, I think, just have a name and they just and you could tell that there were all these people like these Faye Resnicks that just come in week after week like, oh, Spago, I love getting. Have you had the risotto at Spago or whatever it is, you know? And they just like talk themselves into this one dish you have to have. And it's just sort of stuck in time.
Yeah. So Gail has also showed up in a new style, which I'm not comfortable with Gail just changing it up on me. We went from patterns to shoulder pad weird clothes to now beautiful, just, you know, simple sleeveless. Yeah, simple black dress. Gail, what are you doing to me? Okay, stop looking so gorgeous. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, please welcome our guests, Mark Peel, Roy Yamaguchi, Sang-yoon, also known as soon-to-be Jon Favreau. What's happening with you, Sang-yoon? What's going on over there? Jonathan Waxman, who's my friend, and our representative of Avis, Brooke.
The lady who said, just leave the keys in the car, and then tried to charge me $30 extra for not topping off the tank.
The lady who handed me a very, very helpful brochure of the sights and attractions all around Big Bear, Brooke.
Oh, by the way, congrats, Michael. Congrats on your rent control. So in the kitchen, everybody's trying to plate, but Greg can't find any room. And, you know,
I also have to point out one other thing, which I didn't really notice till later on in the episode, but I feel like it's important to mention now. Nilou was also there, and they didn't put her at the main table. They put her at a side table, and they put her so that way she was directly behind Padma's back. So like when, because Nilou kept on looking over the big table to be like, I'm friends with them, guys. I'm friends with the big table. I'm not at the big table, but I'm friends with them. But like every time she looked over, she'd be just facing Padma's back.
I know, which poor, was poor girl.
Such an amazing passive aggressive seating arrangement.
It was so uncool. And then they faced her towards the guests at her own table, so her back was to Padma too. So she had to like keep turning around to look over Padma's back.
She had that like annoying seat that you get stuck on during if you like go to a wedding and you got like the seat that's like facing away from the dance floor. So anytime there's some stupid announcement, you have to like crane yourself around.
Yes, they added a seat for her.
Yeah.
Oh, bless her heart. So, back in the kitchen, Greg is plating, but he can't find his prosciutto and then ends up forgetting it because it's left on a pan in that tiny little kitchen, but everybody's just swamped, you know?
Yeah, because it's those craziness and probably Kevin did something wrong. Mm-hmm. So Stephanie and Gregory bring their dishes out to the table and they present them. So Stephanie has her seared scallop with caviar and asparagus caramello, and Gregory has his beet juice risotto with roasted monkfish. And so Jonathan Waxman thinks Steph's dishes, which was his originally, he thought it was like delicious and like a perfect way to update. His dish.
Yeah. So then Gregory presents his monkfish and prosciutto, but without the prosciutto, over the beets. And Brooke's like, so sorry for the dish. Sorry. Sorry for my amazing dish. So sorry.
Yeah. Sorry you had to deal with my amazing, memorable, iconic dish that you clearly are not able to recreate. So sorry.
Can I speak to the girl who made the pink food when she was a little girl? Good job, little girl. Here's a lolly. Just kidding. It's mine.
So Waxman's like, well, Gregory, when we did a walkthrough, you said crispy prosciutto. Oh, sound effect.
And he's like, yes, unfortunately the prosciutto didn't make it to the plate, and I mean, as you can see, I'm furious about it. Gregory, you're actually smiling and drawing a caricature of Gail right now. What's up with that? She's on a skateboard.
So they all loved it. They liked both of their things.
They loved Stephanie's, but they felt like Gregory's was a little one-dimensional and that the prosciutto would have added like the richness and texture and salt that the dish needed.
Wow. And so Tom's like, well, you know, it would have been a better dish with prosciutto. That's why prosciutto was on there.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I tell my son. A lot of your cocktails would probably be a lot better with prosciutto, but what do I know? I'm just a chef on a world-class level with lots of restaurants who It's been hosting a TV show for 15 years, but what do I know?
You know what would make your new drink taste better? A college degree. So that's what I say.
You know what would be great? If you put like maybe a simple syrup, shot of gin, and just finished it with some ambition. How about that?
So Kevin and Voltaggio are the next pair. And Voltaggio has made Roy's dish, roasted lamb, with a crab cassis.
Yeah. And then Kevin is like, well, this dish is inspired by Chef Peel. They said you like to cut up ducks and other animals. And Mark Peel goes, well, if ducks have a post office, my picture would be on the wall. And they're like, ha, 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 ha!
God.
Oh, classic Peel. Classic Peel.
All right, who's going to bring out the Nancy Silverton jokes?
Have I told you guys about Nancy Silverton handling the money in the kitchen? Hold on, let me call my good friend Ali Wong and put her on speaker so she can hear. She's a comedian.
So roasted duck breast and a croquette from Kevin. So let's see. Brian's dish follows the principles, Roy says. And Hadwin's like, yeah, even though he had different sauces, they all worked very, very well together.
Unlike most of Gail's patterns. Know what I'm saying, everyone? High five, Nilu. Where is Nilu? We should have invited her.
Also lack the wow factor. Sorry, I'm still talking to Gail. Anybody else?
God, it's times like these when we're just eating all this rich, wonderful, but sort of dated food. I wish, God, why couldn't Nilu have been here to join us? It's a shame. Such a shame.
And Brick's like, God, the only time I ever cried in the kitchen was when I had to make this lamb because they'd all order it at the same time at different temperatures. Can someone punch that radio so it starts working again? Thanks.
That's a great story, Brooke. By the way, the GPS doesn't seem to be working on this meal. Could you fix that? Thanks. Otherwise, I'd like that redacted.
How will anyone know what weather it is in Voltaggio?
Hey, Brooke, so you told that story about how you cried because everyone ordered lamb on Valentine's Day? Maybe you might call that a Valentine's Day massacre? Hey-o! Hey-o! Not just the only comic at the table.
Waxman says the wow factor was the croquette, which is so annoying.
Yeah. He goes, well, they're talking about Kevin's dish. He's like, you know what? The orange note on the top was special.
Gail's like, phenomenal. And then Nilu behind her is like, definitely, definitely so good. I wanted more rice ball. Right, guys? Right, guys? Rice ball's right.
Does anyone ever feel like the coat rack is talking? Isn't that so strange?
What are we in, Beauty and the Beast? Don't answer, Gail. Right. So Malarkey and Melissa are next up. And Malarkey is missing some plates. Dun, dun, dun.
Well, yeah, well, because he plated his, but then the servers, the revenge of Nilu, because the servers basically took his dishes to Nilu's table first. And so he comes out to the table and he sees that not everyone has their dishes. And he has this like furious rage in his eyes, but he's also trying to stay professional. And his face just, it turns into an evil skull. Like, it's one of those things where like somehow it just gets like gaunt and angry and all the veins pop out and it's like... It's scary.
Yeah. Suddenly he's like Dirty Harry over there. So Gail's like, well, they're missing a plate. I don't know what to do. And you just hear Nilu going, I love a quattro. Right, guys? Quattro?
They must have heard me saying how much I wanted another one of those balls because they gave me five plates all for myself.
So he's furious. And Gail's like, don't worry. It's going to be okay. And he's so pissed. So Waxman's like, let's share this already tiny bit of food, okay?
Yeah. So Malarkey's like, all right, let me get back to my spiel, put on a happy face, happy face. Ha! So, well, you know, there are so many stories at this old and dated restaurant, and I wanted to reflect all those stories, and how can you just have one story? So I thought I'd reflect it with a duo of stories. So here's the duo. It's a duo of sweetbreads with hollandaise and a champagne gastrique, and also a veal with a truffle, butternut, squash, mushrooms, and leek potato salad. And if I'm not mistaken, Nilu is wearing it on her head right now. Don't even know why that's happening.
And then it cuts to one of the chefs starting to eat it, and they just take their fork and they go, fluke, with the mushroom. They flick it off like they were disgusted with the mushroom on top. They're like,
I'm sorry, I thought I saw Gail on top of my risotto ball.
And the malarkey sees them, how they're eating the dish, and he set them side by side, but, you know, like, how are they supposed to know? And he's like, oh my god, it's, they're stirring it together. It's a duo! It's a duo!
It's not how duos are supposed to be best when they intertwine. And also, he made, like, a potato salad. He made a warm leek potato salad, but the post department misspelled leek. Instead of L-E-E-K, they spelled it L-E-A-K, which normally is just, like, whatever. But the idea, if you really think of it, the idea of a warm leek, like a warm leek potato. I was like, that is so malarkey. Ew, a warm leek.
That's funny, a warm leek. Also, warm potato salad, way to rip off Sir. While you're cooking at this high level, sir.
Way to rip off Germany.
Yeah, way to rip off Lisa Vanderpump's warm potato salad.
So then, Melissa, did I hear this correctly, that she served grilled quail with ninja radishes?
Did she? I just wrote lime and hot plum glaze.
Let me see if ninja radishes are real, because that seems like it's not.
That seems too good to be true. It's like, tricks ya!
Oh, they're real. Ninja radishes. Wow.
Never had one, but I'm gonna now. I'm gonna go to my local grocery store and be like, I'd like a ninja radish, please.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Radishes. So Melissa serves her quail and ninja radishes, and then they go back to the kitchen, and Malarkey is still bitching. He's like, they sent all my food to the wrong table. All my food. And it's just, you know what? They were so nice to you about it. You have to relax.
He says, I'm fucking peeing mad right now. I was like, why can you say fucking but not pissing? Love you.
As the former host of an ABC food show called The Taste with Anthony Bourdain and Nigella Lawson and someone else, I have to say, I know when I can curse and when I can't.
So, not Ali Wong, what did you think of Melissa's quail? And they all loved it. Mm-hmm. They loved that she really highlighted the quail. And Tom's like, you know, some things need a lot of work, and some things need the confidence to just be left alone. And that's what I'd like Melissa to impart to my son, who can't stop requesting Venmos. So thanks.
Thank you. So then Michael, of Michael's, he does not like Malarkey's dish. He's like, you know, the whole thing with Michael's, where we pioneered certain things like chairs. You ever see chair in a restaurant before Michael's? I don't think so. Anyway. Our whole thing is we want 4 to 5 ingredients, and he went to 45 ingredients. I mean, what the hell?
This is what you serve, the pioneer of the baby chair.
This is what you serve, the guy who invented baby iceberg.
Oh, gosh. So then back in the kitchen, they just keep cutting back to the kitchen where Malarkey's still pissed. And Kevin's like,
well, I would ask how it went. But I can see that it didn't go very well. Shut up, Kevin. Don't make me stand up for malarkey. Yeah, okay, ball please. Server.
Yeah, so Gail's like, well, my loin is perfectly cooked, and the sweetbread is perfectly cooked, but the two just don't have a purpose next to each other. Oh, God, you make it so easy for me, Gail. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Who wants to take this one? Jonathan, you've been doing well with that Nancy Silverton material.
So, chefs, I would just like to give one final cheers, and by doing that, I'm going to throw my fork at someone's head behind me. Ow! Okay, we can leave now. Mission accomplished.
Well, I like them that, like, they're all sitting there, and Padma goes, you want to get the chefs, Michael? Padma, you're the host. You go get the chefs. Why are you telling the owner of the restaurant to go get the chefs? She's like, all right, Michael, thank you so much for coming to my restaurant. Please, could you get the chefs on your show?
I'd love one of those little chocolate mints from Andy's on my check when you bring it. Thanks. You can serve the check to Gail.
Wow, Michael, I love what you've done with this space. I mean, look how huge it is. Look, I can just raise my arms and flap them around and wow, all this space. Ow! What was that? What was that?
So he does go get the chefs and basically gives them a great job, and they come out and get applause and stuff. So then we go over to the judges' table, and Tom's like, there's so much history in that kitchen. Wow, you basically cooked Paisley today. Everybody, congratulations. You did a great job. And seeing the reactions from the chefs, like...
The Hertz girl.
Really love those beats.
Well, we had an unanimous winner tonight. It was the chef who did not serve us meals cooked in paper. And that person is Melissa. Thank you, Melissa.
So Melissa, you know, big shock that Melissa wins, but still my favorite, my front runner. She better win this thing. And then Gail is like, well, you know, Michael himself was completely blown away.
Could someone remind me who Michael was? Was he the man who had his shirt open to his navel? Was that him? Okay, good.
Or the one that forgot to bring me that chocolate covered mint. Never forgiving that place.
Was he that weird disembodied voice I kept hearing behind me asking for more and more balls?
Yeah. And Waxman's like, well, I will tell you this, Stephanie. You were right there. The race was closed. You channeled me in a spectacular fashion. I would like to offer you the job as the cashier at the sauce station.
If only you had made one, just one Nancy Silverton joke. Probably that might have just pushed the needle enough. Congratulations, Frumpy One. You're also going to Italy.
So girl power, yay. So then Padma, Brian, and Kevin, you're also going to the finals. Congrats on not being Nilu.
Well, we'll only be taking 5 chefs with us to Italy in coach class. And so one of you will be going home. Who will it be? Gregory? When you were thinking about interpreting the dish, what part of yourself did you want to put in it? Did you want to put the awful part that you apparently have? Because that was there in spades.
He's like, well, I really love fresh vegetables. Does that count? And running. I love to run. Also hugging people and helping old people across the street. I was going to try and convey that.
Oh, sorry.
You know what part of your personality I would have really liked in that? How about the part of your personality that's more about dumping a whole dish on Nilu's head? God, that would have been great.
So Tom's like, well, your fresh vegetables were great, and the pickled onions were great, but you know what? The fish got lost. That's it. Fish, it was lost. It was lost fish. Okay? Wanted. Yeah. You know what? If I had a carton of milk right now, there would be a picture of monkfish on the back, because it was lost. Okay?
Yeah, it was lost. Sort of like my son's future, because he decided to be a mixologist. He's like a forgotten monkfish. Mm-hmm. You know?
And what happened with the prosciutto, stupid?
He's like, well, the clock had ticked and I had overlooked the prosciutto. Oh, sort of like Gail at every party we've ever been to. Bless her heart. She's just not very good socially.
And Gail's like, well, in the original dish, that prosciutto served a real purpose. It gave moisture. It gave seasoning. Both things would have... Stop talking about your beauty regimen, Gail, okay?
Quiet down, Abraham Lincoln.
So they, Pat was like, so malarkey, how was today for you?
He goes, oh, I just had the best time. You know what, guys? This is exhausting. I had forgotten how exhausting it is. What do you mean, listening to you talk every week? Yes, we agree.
It's like, well, I had a couple of problems today. And then it shows Greg giving him like a rolly eye face, which is crazy coming from Greg. And I loved it. Like, when you can even make Greg crazy, you're a monster.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Gail's like, well, you did some good cooking, malarkey. And he's like, well, I have a lot of great stuff going on in my life at this point. And you know what? I had a great time, my friends. I cooked. Saw my friends. Cooked really, really well. And Padme goes, so are you quitting right now? Dun, dun, dun.
Let me know, because I have to call American Airlines and let them know a middle seat opened up for them.
So Greg kind of whispers to him. He's like, listen, you know what? If this is how I go home, I accept it. But, you know, please don't quit.
Yeah. And Tom's like, no, you're here because your cooking has been very good this season. Not great. Not great. You know, it's just very good. And you're sort of annoying. And no one seems to really like you. I think we just want to... We're just fascinated by your face, honestly. And we just, you know, that's why you're here. So don't forget that.
And Gail's like, what happened to you at the table didn't affect our decision, malarkey. And I love that they're going to just try and talk him into staying so they can kick him off. It's so funny. And he's like, well, I got very annoyed today with the process. And you know what? I meant for it to be eaten lightest to heaviest. You guys weren't doing that. And Gail goes, once you send out the food, you have no control over how people eat it. Like, hello?
He goes, well, I mean, but the truth is, if you put those things together, it's a disaster. And Gail's like, but you put them together, Brian. Good one, Gail. Get him, Gail. Get him. I love it when she gets hungry. Wow.
You go, Gail. And Gail's, so he's just an idiot, right? And Tom goes, you know, that duo didn't talk to each other. And Padma's like, well, obviously we need to make a discussion. We need to have a discussion. That will be all.
That will be all. So they all go into the stew room, and Gregory's talking about how he wants to go to Italy because he deserves to go, not because Malarkey quit. So that's his whole thing.
Yeah.
So, and then Padma's like, it's going to be hard to say goodbye to either one of these chefs. I mean, they've really cooked their hearts out. Just kidding. Malarkey sucks. I hate him.
And Malarkey's like, well, I mean, back in the steer room, he's like, when they judge that, you know, judge my dish because they put the food together, I mean, he's such a little butt. And so
it's like, how do you get like mad? It's like, guess what? You know what? Chocolate and lobster are two delicious things. And if you serve me them both on a plate and I'm going to think, oh, am I supposed to eat them together? You know, and like, if I do eat them together, you can't be mad at me. And then they taste shitty. So it's like,
yeah,
I don't know if my point stands, but the point is this. He's stupid.
Yeah. So Waxman's like, well, at this point, Gregory's dish needed to be at a higher level. And Padma's like, something snotty, insert something snotty here. That's what's in my notes. So then the judges bring them back in. And Tom's like, well, you know what? Look, at this point in the competition, it's basically physically and emotionally draining. And you want to put out everything you can. But the only thing that matters is what's on the plate. And if it's two things that fight with each other, well, God, I'm getting close to just saying it, aren't I? Okay, Padma?
Malarkey, please pack your knives and go home to your angry wife. Thank you.
And he's like, well, I am still proud of everything. Damn it. And he ends with, cheers and love, my friends.
Mwah! Yeah.
And blows a kiss.
He goes, my one regret, there wasn't enough laughter today. I'm like, has there ever been enough laughter? I mean, are you insinuating that anyone was laughing at your joke, sir? Because they were not.
Yeah. Well, see ya, Malarkey. I'm really glad he didn't make it to the finals. What a
Yeah, butt. Me too. But now we're stuck with Kevin again. He's probably going to go all the way, which is very frustrating.
Yeah, but now we get to see Kevin have a breakdown. Except I think they have a little break, right, in between this part when they go to the finale. Because usually they show up at that finale vacation. They're like, well, I had time to rest and I've written a whole cookbook.
Yeah, they usually do, although I wonder how they do it, because with coronavirus, I guess we'll find out. I mean, when they you know what, though? I think, yeah, they usually have a break. I feel like when they come back, they've already seen some of the season, but part of me feels like they filmed this, this season aired a little later, and so, I don't know.
Who knows?
Why am I even pontificating about this? It doesn't matter. The point is this. He's gonna, I don't know, but he's gonna come back and he's gonna make a series of balls and he's gonna go to the finals.
Oh, fun times, everybody. All right, well, thank you so much for being here, guys. We love you. Stay safe out there, take care of each other, and we'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah. We'll be back with the premiere of Below Deck Med. It's back. Yay.
Yeah. Okay, we'll see you later, honeys.
Bye, honeys.